For a roll call, I'm present, Ward 4, Chairman Adrian Martinez is present. Do we have, and do you go by ward or by person?
By ward, usually.
Do we have a Ward 1 representative?
That is currently vacant.
Currently vacant. Ward 2 representative?
Also vacant.
Currently vacant. Ward 3 representative?
That's also vacant.
Ward 4 representative?
This is Tony for Ward 4. I'm present.
Tony recorded present for Ward 5. Ward 4, excuse me. Ward 5, Adrian Martinez is present. And Ward 6?
Jean Parker and present.
Jean Parker is present.
And Mayor's office?
Mayor's office?
Currently vacant.
Is currently vacant. All right.
You do have a quorum.
Excellent. So the August 5th, 2026 meeting of the Independent Audit and Performance Commission will come to order. The time is now 3:05. With and a quorum is present, and the commission may conduct business. All right. And the record will reflect commissioners and staff members present, and proceed to agenda item 2. Next item is the approval of the minutes from the July 1st, 2026 meeting. The draft minutes have been provided to the commissioners. Are there any corrections to the minutes?
Move to approve.
All right. Hearing no corrections. Do we need a motion or is it by consensus?
You do need a motion. And I believe Commissioner Parker moved to approve.
All right. And I second. Motion has been moved and seconded to approve the July 1st, 2026 meeting minutes. Are there any discussions or corrections? Hearing none. Motion passes. Motion's adopted and the minutes are approved. All right. Moving to proceed to agenda item number 3, staff update.
Chairman Martinez, the staff update is usually conducted by the Business Services Department director. She is at a conference this week and did not appoint a fill-in.
Okay.
So we do not have an update this time.
Would that be a motion to postpone?
It's a standing item, so it just kind of closes and no motion, no action needed.
All right.
I have a question about that before we go on. What does that usually consist of?
Sure, I'd be happy to take that question. Okay. Commissioner Parker, members of the commission, the staff update by the Business Services Department usually involves anything financial or budget related occurring at the city since the last meeting or high profile items that are coming up. What you can usually expect are updates on our standard financial reports, the budget process, any key positions within the financial and budget realm that are vacant or recently filled, any outside audits that happen. Sometimes the federal government will come in and audit things. Usually those types of updates are what they present to this commission.
Okay.
Things that relate directly to the guide rails of this commission.
And would we receive a written update in between meetings if something really urgent came up?
That's a great question. Traditionally, we haven't had anything urgent come up that would warrant it. But yes, if there was a major thing that came up that is kind of the purview of this commission, Business Services has the opportunity to reach out to the liaisons and we would update the commission with an off agenda memo or just a email.
Great.
OK, thank you.
Thanks.
Are there any additional questions or comments?
Move to table.
There you go. Staff updates received. Moving on to agenda item 4, review of the fiscal year 2027 annual internal audit plan. And Chair recognizes Executive Management Advisor Ann Williams to present the proposed plan.
Okay. Thank you, Chair, members of the Commission. What I'll present for this agenda item is this is usually an annual item that comes up. We present, internal audit presents the audit plan for the upcoming fiscal year. What we're looking for here is any discussion or approval of that plan, any comments that you have that can happen at this meeting or it can happen if the commission chooses to kind of make some comments that they like to discuss outside of the meeting or in between the meetings, we can bring this back next time for actual comments and approval. What happens then is those comments go with the audit plan to mayor and council for their knowledge and for their approval. I'm going to walk you through the audit plan in detail this year since it is a reestablished commission. Usually you would see this earlier in the calendar year in preparation for our fiscal year. All right, I'm going to read a lot of it. The internal audit's mission is to enhance and protect organizational value by providing risk-based and objective assurance, advice, and insight. The internal audit program is under the direction of the Deputy Synergy Manager's Chief Financial Officer. This year, internal audit is staffed by one auditor, one executive management advisor, and will be augmented by services provided by other audit agencies and subject matter experts. Items identified on this plan will be the prime function of these staff members. In addition, audits could require significant amounts of staff time at any level and from any department in the organization, depending on the scope of the project. What we do is the audit plan allocates our hours, taking into consideration other duties and administrative tasks that we might have, so that we have a guideline of how we're going to spend our time this year. City of Tucson, we break it into three major areas, and that's how internal audit is divided up. The first major area is consultant services, and I'll go over the details of those after I go over the summary level. We allocate about 1,000 hours this year for that. Independent Audit and Performance Commission support, that's what we're doing right now. We allocate about 500 hours for that every year. Assurance services is the third major area, and we allocate about 1,000 hours for that task also. Total hours, about 2,500. That's one full-time staff and a portion of me. Consultant services, what that means at the City of Tucson is they're advisory in nature and generally performed at the specific request of an engagement client. Our clients are usually the departments. The nature and scope of the consultant engagement are subject to agreement with the engagement client. The amount of time required and when the assistance is scheduled will vary depending on the nature of the request. The way those things get scheduled, it could be at the request of the city manager's office, other city offices and departments, or the commission. Estimated hours, about 1,000 hours for all assistance requested during this fiscal year. Reports that result from consultant services are determined on the type of assistance provided. Sometimes it's a memo format. Engagements that you'll see under consultant services are advisory. We might have a department reach out, they came across an issue. And they want some input or best practices. We delve into the issue, research, look up standards and practices, and issue a report of some sort to provide them guidance. Sometimes it's a quick and easy that doesn't even warrant a memo. It might be just an email correspondence with the director of a department saying, here's the best practices or resources that are available to you. But we are one tool that's available to city directors to help them in whatever they're doing. Okay, then the second area is the Independent Audit Commission support. What we do is provide staff support to assist this commission in carrying out its duties. The schedule is continuous. Monthly meetings could occur as long as we have quorum. The staff is the deputy city manager, an executive assistant, or an admin assistant, and internal audit staff. Estimated hours, approximately 500 hours. Depending on if you set up subcommittees, which is an option. As you get fully staffed, sometimes that's the way to go. We also support your subcommittees. We prepare reports as requested by the IAPC. Those could be helping you draft your audit reports that would go to mayor and council usually, but it also includes any of the legal action reports, minutes, and everything else that goes with the commission. All right, and then the third major area are assurance services. This is what you might think of as more traditional audit services. Consultant or advisory, you kind of get ahead of the problem. Assurance is the ongoing monitoring or coming in when something actually did happen and doing an audit of it. The goal there is we have subcategories. What we do is we try to plan our audit work based on those subcategories. We select throughout the year from the list. The deputy city manager / CFO also has input on what staff might look at in the list or outside of the list. Due to limited audit staff, we need timely responses to numerous requests for management and support provided to the IAPC. It's not feasible that we look at everything on the list every year. So this is an ongoing list that we rotate, try to cover something 1 year, maybe have a different focus area the next year, but we maintain that complete list. I do like to mention that what you're looking at is the authorized positions currently for this fiscal year for internal audit division. Some previous years, there's additional staff. If additional staff get brought on board, then more of these items get handled. But with one auditor, it's a few of these might get looked at in the year. Mm-hmm. All right, those subcategories, accounts payable, okay, that way you see kind of what our scope of work is, where our guide rails are. So internal audit looks at accounts payable, accounts receivable, and delinquent accounts. We can look at cash accounts, change accounts, petty cash, merchant and checking accounts. Compliance audits, we do a good bit of. Those are compliance with federal and state regulations, city policy processes and procedures. City contract administration is within our realm. Financial participation agreements, master operating agreements, and memos of understanding. Those are just different types of contracts. Those are within our realm to look at. Fixed assets and other equipment. Follow up on previous audit findings and recommendations. Both follow up on internal, and it could be external. Auditors have recommendations that we follow up on. Intergovernmental agreements are within our realm. Inventories, payroll, procurement cards. Those are cards that staff use to purchase goods and services throughout the city. So a mechanism to purchase things. And system design and implementation is also something that we can be involved with. All right, that is the audit plan for fiscal year 27. Before I open it up for questions, what happens then is if you do approve this, it goes to mayor and council. We, the auditors, come back on a quarterly basis with this audit plan, and we go over our progress against these bullet points. Mm-hmm. You'll get details of the specific items that we're looking at underneath these general categories. And then you have your opportunity to look at any reports that came out of those engagements or ask questions. You'll get updates on things that are ongoing, that have started, that are ongoing, and that are completed during the year. This then also turns into an annual report from internal audit of our activities that then comes back to the commission at the end of the year for review. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
I have several questions. Can I go ahead?
Yes, okay. Commissioner Parker, go ahead. Okay.
So would it be fair to say that this commission audits the audit process, or how would you describe our role in this?
You help monitor the audit process. So this is a unique board that you have the opportunity to ask questions. And the reason for that is it will help. You also choose things that you might want to look at that the internal auditors are not looking at, or you might want to look at something. But as you get our updates, you're like, oh, internal audit is already looking at this thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you get to see the end result of that, too. So you get a report that says, here's the thing that we looked at, and that might meet whatever your commission want to look at.
I see. And so then who decides? So these items get rotated. Who decides on the rotation, and how often is each item up for review?
That's a great question. The internal audit function reports up to the CFO, assistant city manager. So she kind of directs, with input from internal audit, which areas, because they might be aware of an area that might be higher risk. Internal audit itself looks at kind of our risk assessment of these areas. Mm-hmm. Part of that risk assessment is, when was the last time this function or duty or process was looked at? What's the impact externally, internally, financially, legally, if anything is going wrong there? What are any recent issues or potential new projects that would impact these things? So we kind of design the work schedule of what we're going to look at this year. But then we also get management input because they might be aware of something that's not on our radar that is a potential high-risk area.
But then we can ask for certain things too, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. And what if something is, say it's not a high risk in the traditional sense, like it's something where there isn't legal exposure or financial risk, but yet it's something that's of high enough priority to members of this commission that that it should be looked at, but it perhaps hasn't been included in the staff recommendations.
Another great question. So items like that are prime for what the commission can look at. You have the same ability to call staff in front of you. So that's one avenue. Avenue two is you could request staff, city staff, as an internal audit looks at it, but we do have limited staff availability. And then the third avenue is you can request that the city engages an outside auditor to come in and look at it. Again, that's going to be based on resource and budget.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any additional questions? All right. Hearing none, the chair will now entertain a motion concerning the fiscal year 2027 annual internal audit plan. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll move to approve.
All right, second. Okay. Moved and seconded, the commission approved the fiscal year 2027 annual internal audit plan as presented. And any motion is now open for discussion. Is there any discussion involving the motion to approve?
Yeah, just the condition that that we look at the items, but that we exercise our options to look at other items as well. And some of these, at least in my circumstance, some of these might be coming from the ward offices as well.
I'm sorry, say again, the ward offices?
The ward offices.
Oh, ward offices,
yeah.
Right.
We're still getting to know each other. So, mm-hmm. You know, we have quarterly meetings planned. And so my intent is to also work with them on mm-hmm. identifying any additional items that we might want to look at.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I'll be doing the same.
Yeah. Yeah, and also other commissions. And one of the things that is so interesting about this commission is that we intersect with a lot of other commissions in the city. And so we actually have a lot more brains in the room than just us if we consult with them and get their input on things.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely
need to get back. That's kind of cool.
I definitely have to get back with my ward rep and talk about exactly those exact things, because it was brought up before, you know, I swore into the commission, and I think it's key. You know, we're not working in a bubble or in a vacuum. We really need to be working with our ward reps, or as well as the different acting commissions and committees, to make sure we're hitting those high priority targets.
Exactly, and that we're using the resources efficiently. One of the things I met with the Ward 6, this is a little off topic, I guess, but from the motion, but just FYI, I met with the rep from Ward 6 on the Disability Commission and learned all kinds of stuff about that would that really pointed out the need for efficiency and collaboration with these commissions, so that to minimize or eliminate siloing and make sure that we're all moving in the same direction. So
absolutely.
I plan to meet with Council Member Schubert's office quarterly, so that would, you might want to set up a similar schedule.
Yeah, that's noted. Great. Yes, thank you. Right. Is there any further discussion for the approval of the fiscal year 2027 annual internal audit plan as presented?
The only comment that I have is that I still had some questions on drones because I wasn't here for that meeting next month. And so as long as there's an opportunity for me to get that back on the schedule and answer and ask those questions in the future, then I'm good with the plan.
Absolutely. From my understanding is we can submit questions to both the ATC and different commissions through Mr. Williams here. He will forward them on to the appropriate personnel. So any questions that you have can be, doesn't have to wait until the next meeting. They can be sent and then addressed at next month's meeting.
There's also a memo that I think we both share your concern about the drones. But there's also a memo from from the IT department. No, not from the IT. Aaron, was it from IT or was it from TPD?
It's from their, as you mentioned, the committees that intersect. So your next agenda item is going to be that oversight group.
So if you, I believe all these things are posted on the website, but if you look back at the documents that were submitted for the most recent meeting in July, and then there were some questions that we had involving drones that were answered in a memo that came back. And so you might have your questions answered there, or you might have additional questions after you read all that. So,
and any additional questions can be forwarded to Mr. Williams to pass on to the appropriate offices.
And you always have the ability to make it a future agenda item and call staff back in front to address that.
I think that drones are going to be a regular guest at this particular commission.
So yeah. Tony, I'm sorry, how do you say your last name?
It's Gozinski. Think like Gozinski.
Sure. Commissioner Gozinski, if you send Mr. Williams any questions and you find that you do have further questions to address to the ATC, that we can bring that to the meeting next month and have them brought again to really go in depth and answer any questions in between as well.
Yep. Okay. I sent some questions, but I will ask that it be put on the agenda again so that we can go over them as a group.
Okay. Ready. Is there any further discussion for the audit plan? Okay. Hearing none. Going to the vote, all those in favor of approving the fiscal year 2027 internal audit plan as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Or raise your hands. Aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Say no. Any abstentions? The ayes have it. Motion's adopted and the fiscal year 2027 annual internal audit plan is approved.
I do have an operational request, if I might.
Commissioner Parker?
Yeah, I would like to ask that all of the votes be voice votes.
Oh, definitely can do that.
And not
heard.
Yeah, that accommodates me, but it also accommodates people who are calling in by phone or listening by phone.
Heard. We will be doing voice voting from now on.
Thank you. Parker. That was easy.
All right. And we will proceed to agenda item 5, the Advanced Technology Committee Intake and Action Summary Presentation. Chair recognizes the Information Technology Department representative to provide an overview of the ATC review process and three recent technology examples. I think that's Mr. McGinnis.
Hi, yes, thank you. James McGinnis standing in for Kate Carter here. And I believe that I don't know what business the commission has overheard already. I think there was some review of the ATC process at the last meeting. Is that correct?
That's correct. We went over ATC process and the AER pilot program.
Okay, excellent. So if there are any other questions, I don't want to belabor the point and go through the process again if it was discussed at the last meeting, but I'm happy to answer any questions that might have come up about that process, how that the intention of that committee and how it works. But if there are no further questions on that, we could probably move straight into the presentation items, which I believe Mr. Romero is going to be offering guidance on those items.
Commissioner Kaczynski wasn't here for last month's meeting, so I think an overview of the ATC process would still be beneficial.
Okay, great. Well, so fundamentally, the ATC is a group that helps with governance and guidance of emerging technologies in the city of Tucson. I was on this commission or this committee when it was started, although Kate Carter has been chairing this for some time now. So if there are specific questions, I want to make sure that, you know, she has a chance to speak to those. So if you have any questions that I don't feel comfortable answering, I'm going to defer to when she can return and answer them because the process has likely changed. But functionally, that the committee exists to basically review emerging technologies, give the committee members an opportunity to ask questions of the sponsors. So the sponsors are coming from the individual departments that will propose these technologies. For example, Mr. Romero, who we have here today with us from TPD, they would bring these technologies forward. The ATC would have an opportunity to hear from the department sponsor about what the intended use of the technology is, how it would fit into the workflows and processes and solve the specific problems that the department has essentially brought forward that the technology would offer a solution for, and then ask any questions about how the technology would intended to be used in the specific application. Typically, we go through and, you know, sort of review various different operational parameters. A lot of these have been AI technologies, no, not surprising, or, you know, technologies that involve the drones or other types of semi-autonomous vehicles. And so a lot of that discussion has been around, you know, how we would expect to, guidance for governance of safeguards and things of that nature. And then the committee would typically recommend a course of action, either approval or, you know, they would say we would like you to come back with more information on a specific topic, or they might recommend that the sponsoring department run a pilot for a number, you know, for a period of time to evaluate the technology. So that's essentially it in a nutshell. Again, I may have missed, if the committee has evolved some since I was chairing it, it may have, there may be other processes that Kate could speak to more with more knowledge, and I would defer to her on any of those matters.
Great. Are there any questions?
Are we
no question? Thank you.
Are we then not going to go into each of the proposals that's being made, or is that coming next?
That's next.
Okay.
Mr. McGinnis is going over just the ATC review process, and then Mr. Romero is here to go over the three different.
Okay, because I have some specific questions related to the proposals.
Great.
Okay.
Are there any other questions for Mr. McGinnis? Hearing none, we can move to the presentation.
All righty. Well, hello to the folks that I got to talk to last month regarding the AER pilot. It feels like last week. I feel like everything kind of gets blended in. But you know, we're here in August, and Kate had asked me to bring forward three of the other items that we have put through an ATC process and throughout like the entirety of the state process for approvals on pilots that we are working on, as well as like feature functionalities that we have enabled in some of our current technology that's part of our current portfolio. So I'll kind of go in order with those. For the first one, I'm like, we are currently in a year-long pilot using Axon's Outpost camera systems, which is a automatic license plate reader technology, which is pretty much a fixed. It's a fixed camera that can do live video as well as the capturing of license plates, similar to what's used in our current fleet vehicles for our Fleet 3 implementation, which we currently have 50 patrol vehicles that have that technology more from a mobile perspective as officers are out there patrolling. Same technology. The only thing is that these run on solar arrays, are powered by always on LTE. So no on-site power is required, no network needed. These are more deployable on poles, buildings, you know, trailers, existing structures. There are a few of these in town. They often get mistaken for flock cameras. Again, these are not flock cameras. These are Axon Outpost cameras that we're currently using. And again, this is something that's already built into our Axon ecosystem. We use this type of technology in our Fleet 3 environment for the patrol vehicles. The only difference is that these are in fixed locations, and they have been placed in locations of with data-driven geo-referencing of where we are experiencing higher levels of crime when it comes to violent crime as well as gun crimes. And a lot of these, even through the pilot, as we're going through it, which will end at the end of this calendar year, we have had some successes of different cases that we've been able to solve with this type of technology. Going more into like a governance and the data handling portion, I'm like, obviously ALPR data falls under our restricted level 3. The system falls within our Axon ecosystem for evidence.com. So all access is role-based access, the device configuration and firmware, it's all kind of built in within our Axon ecosystem, as well as any of the detections, the live streams that go into our overall platform, which is fully audit logged. And the retention is set to our city schedule. Any hot list or alert used to tie are all, you know, are tied to legitimate law enforcement purposes. And again, these are items that we have put out in public, you know, public facing things to show the, you know, type of governance that we have within there, and also our general orders, which is the overall policies of how we use this technology. And we do quarterly audits on the use of the system to ensure that there's no misuse or people that shouldn't have access to that data have it. So that was one that we put out there. So we'll be doing and testing out these cameras to see if it would make sense for us to do a larger investment into the tech, or if we keep our current our current provider, which we are using Bricata security for for most of our ALPR needs at this point in time. And with that, I'm like, any questions before I jump into the other two items? I'm pretty sure this will be a hot topic one.
Commissioner Parker?
Yeah, I do. You know me, I always have questions. you know, in reading the three proposals, I came away with an overall concern about data storage on vendor systems. And I think this is going to be, this is not particular to this proposal or the other two that we were sent, but in an overall sense, I read at one point Amazon services and Bedrock services, and then I read with some relief that it had changed from from that. Whoever's typing, could they mute? It's really loud in my headset. Thank you. I don't know what the usual operational strategy is, but I just want to go on record, I guess, with a concern about who is storing the city's data, particularly TPD and fire department and other really sensitive data, and what the contracts say about who has access to it, and just more about how that is, how those decisions are made, and how that aspect of data storage is being managed. And I don't expect like an answer to that today, but I'd like to flag it as something that I have a concern about.
All right, there. Sorry, I was taking notes, so I think I didn't turn on my suppression where it kind of blocks off any of those sounds while I'm not muted. So apologies for that.
That's fine. That's
on my side. But no, I'm like going back into storage. I'm like, again, from overall, like just police data or even fire data of how it's stored, I'm like, where possible, I'm like, some of it is stored within our own data centers here at the city. Like we do have our own on-prem storage systems for, you know, some of the information that gets captured with a lot of our, you know, more tenured technology. Again, the industry is kind of pushing more into cloud services, and there are different levels from a certification perspective of, you know, the different providers that are out there. And even within those set providers, there's different tiers. Mainly, a lot of the technology that's, you know, more, you know, a service or a subscription as a service, meaning that it's more web based. It's hosted by, you know, other companies, like for Axon, for example. I'm like, with those, the storage is stored with one of the cloud providers. Like for Axon, as an example, will be Microsoft Azure. But within there, I'm like, there's different tiers. So you have your enterprise, and there's a government version or a GovCloud. So the government GovCloud, I'm like, has to meet certain regulations for it to be certified at that level. So all of our, at least for the contracts that we have, for anything that's going to be restricted level three data, which I'm like police data and the HIPAA data that the fire department tends to work with, I'm like, would fall under would fall under that, you know, higher GovCloud type of environment. So at least for the data, like for the examples of the drones, the examples that we've given here with the ALPR data that we're using with Fleet 3, as well as these Axon Outpost cameras, our Bricata system, a lot of stuff that we have that is more of a SaaS or subscription as a service, those are going to be under GovCloud. So from a GovCloud perspective, it needs to meet, you know, FBI standards and also like DoD level of standards for encryption, for how you're handling and giving access to things. And there's certain measures that need to be followed. Mm-hmm. So with all of our vendors, we ensure that those are actually specified, and that all of our data is stored in locations that it has to be within the continental US. Like anyone that is going to access the data or is going to have access to the environment in any way, shape or form, like one, they have to be US citizens. And the other thing, they have to be able to get fingerprinted and background checked. So that's more of a CGIS requirement. So that's something that we ask of, like our, like Axon is one of our like big partner vendors. So we do have those type of agreements. And before any of those folks are able to work in our systems, they do have to actually go through background checks to meet all the requirements that we have in place. And there's auditing as well. And there's certain workflows that they have to follow before they're even able to access our environment. So all, even that's audited if they're helping us troubleshoot.
I understand that. And that's that I would expect. I think my hesitation is that we're living in an environment where protocols are not necessarily followed. And so I'll lay this down for now, but the way that data is stored and who has access to it is something I think we're possibly going to be faced with in the future, maybe even in the near future, who knows? And what the reason is that they have access to it. And I am, of course, thinking about Flock and the ways that they have shared their data, and I don't know what was in those contracts with municipalities and universities and things who were using those cameras. But I just want to bring this, I just want to flag this as potentially something that we might need to revisit. Going back to the system itself, does this also identify traffic violations? And then related to that, would this act as or replace red light cameras?
No. So the technology is more based, very similar to that of like just a normal license plate reader. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be detecting any type of infractions if somebody, you know, ran when the sensor shows that there was a red light and that they crossed that threshold. Like we are looking currently, and we are looking at putting out a request for purchasing for red light cameras. Obviously, depending on how the voters are going to, if they're going to allow us to be able to pursue that. But we are planning on bringing technology forward for that type of tracking enforcement. But for this technology that we're talking, no, okay. it's the traditional license plate reader technology. So it just captures, you know, a frame of vehicle and the license plate.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Parker, reading through the on the action summaries on page 3, section 4.4, it's looking at data sharing and external access for the program. Like you're talking about what contractually, what can, like looking back at Flock and that sort of risk.
Right.
Specifically stating in here with as far as data sharing and external access, there's no external or third party data sharing authorized. Access restricted to TPD, to Tucson Police Department users within the Axon ecosystem. So it'll only be, according to the document here, only select people within TPD will have access and nobody else. It won't be shared with Axon or with any other third party. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did read that. I just wanted to bring this up as something we might want to talk about periodically.
Yes,
to
definitely.
Make sure that things are aligned with current conditions and other variables.
IT specific questions. If finish your thought and then I just have some IT specific questions.
The only thing I was going to add is in contractual language, we do put also that though it's being hosted and being stored in a virtual private cloud environment, that all that data does belong to the city. And, you know, the vendor cannot do anything without our written permission before, you know, doing anything. So we do have those clauses in all of our contracts with any vendor. So just to add that onto it as well.
Okay. And my understanding is that, you know, GovCloud is, you know, FedRAMP certified, and things are usually encrypted in motion and at rest. So if only the system administrators and then the TPD personnel who have a need to know have access, then that covers most things. And it sounds like you have all that in the contract. Is that contract? I know that there's high level information in the minutes and other places, but is that contract someplace where, you know, people in the public can see it easily?
It should be able. I believe our Axon contract that we have should be available through. I'm trying to. Is it Aaron? I can't recall the name of our document management system.
Open Gov Procurement, and it should be public facing.
Okay, so if I tell people to go into the Open Gov Procurement, they can find the Axon contract and any other contracts that are associated with this. Okay. Thank you.
Of course.
Are there any other questions for the first section of the ATC presentation?
All right. I'll go into the next one here. So the next one is we were looking at doing a pilot where we're looking at using an LLM assisted like investigative narrative synthesis tool. In short, we were hoping to create a in-house LLM or a large language model to be able to assist our detectives to be able to synthesize investigative summaries and narratives from records already in our city's governed data platform, which is Snowflake. You know, turning scattered data into more of a plain language graph that speeds up investigator review and being able to kind of pinpoint. So a good example would be if we have detectives working on a homicide case, the people that may be involved from the officers responding to detectives working on it, you know, crime scene personnel and whoever may be involved, I'm like, they're going to be putting in different narratives, different things that they did throughout the case. There can be, you know, 50, 100 or hundreds of different reports that they have to kind of go through for that case. So I'm like, that could be very time consuming. So what we were looking to do, and this is the one that kind of flip-flopped a little bit, to ensure that we kind of had tools within a GovCloud environment, since we were going to be dealing with police narrative data, we wanted to ensure that we had the right thing. So now that we were going to go with AWS, to be able to kind of build that out, we mentioned Bedrock as the platform that would do that. We actually were able to pivot to Snowflake, which is where the data actually lives within a AWS GovCloud FedRAMP High environment, to be able to use their AI platform, which is known as Cortex. So basically, we use Snowflake Cortex AI, where we're able to ontologize or kind of clean up the data and line it up for an AI or a large language model to be able to ingest it and synthesize it, chunk that up so that, you know, just like, you know, people that are using, you know, today's ChatGPT, I can type in, you know, for this specific case, you know, was there any mention of a red key assault? I'm like, just thinking off the top of my head. And then it would go through and say, like, in this case on report, you know, 7, 10, 15, and 18, there was a mention of this. Like, if you go here, this is where you will find that information. So instead of them having to go through our Axon record system and go through each one, they'll know now to go which one directly. So that's what we're doing. And we're building it more to be, it's more encompassed in a very locked location, meaning that this is not, you know, a model that's capturing data and then training, you know, other models that are going to be used by everyone else in the world. This all, you know, this is only going to run inside of our Snowflake, like, secure perimeter. You know, the data's not being moved. It's not being replicated. It's not being sent out to any outside models. So I'm like, all of the governance that we have built in within that ecosystem is going to, you know, it's already runs through the data and it's running within its own encapsulated model. So that data is not going to necessarily leave the environment and be exposed in any way, shape, or form. And for us, like, as we're dealing with any type of police data, it's role-based access. Everything within our Snowflake ecosystem is also it has full auditing, so we can able to explain any type of usage within there. And the biggest thing is that this is a human in the loop is required through the workflow, meaning that this specific tool is not going to make any decisions for the detectives that are going to be doing it. Basically, it's going to be more of a agentic helper to be able to pinpoint them and be like, this is where you should be looking at. But the final determination and the workload still falls on the detective. We're just hoping to ease a little bit of the burden with this tool. And one of the things that we do here in the police department, we have a very robust policy research team. So the whole birth of the idea of using this is that we wanted to see if a large language model and AI can assist police agencies. So what we're looking to do for a 6-month pilot that we're hoping to start up this month is that for a 6-week trial period, we're going to pick 2 detective units that work within have similar caseload and, you know, very similar type of casework that they work on. From there, we will give a set of the detectives access to this tool. The other ones won't. So we will be able to do a comparison from a research perspective to see which, you know, did we see an increase on any type of closures or then being able to prep anything for cases that get sent over to the prosecuting attorney's office, and also get feedback from those detectives to see, you know, what was the difference of people that had the tool to those that didn't? And these are things that our policy researchers are working with a professor at the University of Arizona as part of an SPI or one of our special policing initiative grants that we were awarded back in 2023. But yeah, oh my God, any questions on that or concerns that I can help with?
So it sounds like you're not using it. It sounds more like you're using it to find information within the existing data. So it's not predicting anything or coming up with anything probabilistically. It's just saying on this page of this report, here's the information that you're looking for. Is that correct?
Correct. So I'm like, we're basically okay. Just using a agentic search agent for just chunking up narrative data that's very unstructured to make it easier for them to locate.
Okay. And when you pass this information to the prosecutor, I'm assuming it's the original information. You're just saying, you know, here's all of the original documents, and you're giving that to anybody at the district attorney. It's like the original data is what I'm trying to confirm.
Correct. Yes. So the package, I'm like, it's not affected by this specific tool. I'm like, the package will still be exactly how they formulate the casework that needs to go over.
Okay.
Commissioner Parker, do you have any questions?
I don't. Thank you.
Great. None for me. Unless there's something else, we can move to the third pack.
All right. So for the last one, I'm like, this was one where I'm like, we, as I mentioned earlier, I'm like, our video and camera ecosystem falls under Verkada as well as like Milestone. But what's very heavily used in our CSARC center is Verkada. With Verkada, I'm like, it's a newer technology where we're able to kind of utilize a lot more functionalities that we don't have on some of our older video management systems. So I'm like, with Verkada, we do have cameras that have ALPR capabilities and other ones that do have some enhanced search capabilities where it's able to do object-oriented tagging. So if in any of the videos, if let's say if there was an incident where, like when we had the issue with, I believe it was the car crash that led to the death of the toddler down in the south side. I'm like, being able to know that it was a black Charger, but we couldn't really make out those like temporary tags that they had on. We're able to put, you know, we knew around what time it was, which ones were the cameras. Being able to type down, black Dodge Charger, possibly 2003 to about, 2013. Can we find, then the model there can actually pinpoint different frames of like, then the of a possible match, and then the CSARC operator is able to kind of, find where that footage could be for detectives to be able to use. So there's a feature within the Verkada command where it actually, right now, you have to actually, before this got enabled, basically a CSARC operator had to know the exact times, the camera, which of the cameras at that said location, and what they were actually looking for, and then they had to sit there and then go backwards on the recording until they were able to find certain items, and then they were able to clip that for any detectives or investigators that may be looking at stuff, or anyone that might be working as they were searching for someone or anything like that. So it was very time consuming. So one of the features that was enabled in one of the releases was the ability to do a freeform. So being able to use a natural language search as you would like in Google, where, our CSOC operators are able to type in like plain language description to like I mentioned earlier, find a vehicle with make, model, color, or any kind of unique markings such as like body damage, sticker, bike rack, to be able to speed up the lookups for that. So then from there, as they are able to do a search where it could be like it was a, you know, a black Dodge Charger, you know, this type of model, and it had like a sun mark on, or, you know, a faded paint on the hood, then the model would then return different frames where now the CSARC operator can kind of go through instead of having to pinpoint what camera, what location. So, you know, speed up a little bit more of the investigative portion that they're working on to be able to get that information. And most times it's more of a timely thing to be able to get that to investigators to help, you know, lead to any type of arrest or solutions to any things that they might be investigating. So again, this is all within the cloud platform managed by Verkada. Again, all of this, as I mentioned before, I'm like, this also falls under our restricted level 3 data from our city standards. I'm like, the footage is classified and it's, you know, retained per the city schedule. I'm like, everything is configurable by camera and site. Again, our Verkada system, same as any of our other systems in the police department, are all role-based access. I'm like, we have audit logs within anyone that's using Verkada command or anyone that's doing any type of searches, whether it's freeform, ALPR, or if they're actually just clicking on a camera to be able to live view any of them. And all of the searches have to be tied to an active investigation, so there's no passive monitoring. And also we're doing an audit on all of this on a quarterly basis to ensure that there's no misuse of the system. Like I mentioned, we have per our general orders under GO 3700, specifically on 3791, I'm like, this technology falls under that specific ruling where I'm like, everything that I kind of mentioned is also stipulated to all of our officers as well that do have access to the system, which is mostly detectives as well as CSARC personnel.
So do you have the name of the foundation model that they're using for the search?
For what Verkada uses, I'm not sure if they're using, you know, Claude, OpenAI, Meta, or which one they may be using on there. Basically, that's something that they have under the hood for the overall UI. The one thing that it is certified from a government cloud perspective.
And do they provide you with any information on the accuracy, precision, or recall? And recall is usually the most important because a lot of times I can tell you the false positive rate, where a lot of times these models, you know, some things they're very good at, like cars. You know, a lot of them are very good at identifying different types of vehicles, but sometimes they're bad at other things. And then there's different grades for how well they perform on different types of data. Did they give you any of that information?
That I'm not 100% sure. I don't have that at hand at this moment, but I'll make sure to follow up on that and provide whatever they did provide the lieutenant that was working on this.
Okay.
Make a note of that real quick. Sorry about that. All right, got my notes down.
Commissioner Parker, did you have any questions?
Not at this time.
All right. Mr. Romero, was there anything else that you'd like to present today?
No, I think those were the three that Kate had on tap.
All right.
I think I can be here all day.
I will say your presentations are very thorough, and I appreciate the preparation that you take to inform us.
Yeah, I second. I really, you know, I think the weird one at work is I like reading the data documentation and all these. I really enjoyed reading the 42 pages of ATC, because it actually, it's not just copy paste. You're actually taking your time, Mr. Romero, and I really appreciate that. Okay, so are there any other questions for Mr. Romero for the action summary presentations? All right, hearing no further questions, Commissioner has received the presentation, and with no formal action listed under the agenda item, we'll now proceed to agenda item 6. And call to the audience. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address the Independent Audit Performance Commission. Each speaker allowed up to 3 minutes. Anybody from the audience like to say anything? Hearing none. Call to audience is closed. Let's see. Moving from 6, going to agenda item 7, future agenda items. Are there subjects commissioners would like to consider for placements on future meeting agendas? I believe Commissioner Parker brought one earlier this meeting.
I've actually got a couple.
Okay.
And right now they're areas of interest instead of specific items, because there are people that I want to speak with who are on holiday. And so I was unable to get the necessary information to bring specific items to the commission this time. But I can do that the next time. One of the areas that's of interest to me is the disability-related services that are that the city has responsibility for. I need to speak with Chris Despero at Ward 2, and he is traveling at the moment, so I will do that and bring specific items to the September meeting.
Okay.
But in the meantime, and in consultation with Miranda Schubert's staff, I note that there the two things. I note that there are a lot of surveys that are given by the city. And as you know, my area of work is citizen engagement with civic bodies, with civic engagement. And so I would like to know more about the methodologies that are used to get citizen input, but also to inform people in the city about what's happening in ways that do not necessarily put the onus on individuals to investigate and find things out. I feel like that's often the case, that people are kind of left to their own investigation skills to find things out, which means they have to know that that thing exists in the first place. But you can't ask a question about something unless you know it exists. Mm-hmm. And so I want to know more about that and how research methodologies can be used to make that whole process more user-friendly for people who live in Tucson, but also people who come here, like commuters or visitors, that kind of thing. It's a big area, but I think it's an area that a lot of people don't ask about, and where we can make some tangible improvements. And that in turn, of course, leads to increased engagement of people. It increases the knowledge base that we have to draw from. I think we can do better with this.
I think it's an area that everyone can do better at. I'm not sure. So with not an agenda item, I made notes for the next meeting so we can address it, Commissioner Parker, but there's nothing going to be officially on the agenda unless you have, and we can talk about it next time. Actually, let's do that.
I think maybe the place to start, and this would be Mr. Williams, perhaps can inform us about this, but perhaps the place to start would be a list of the agencies, the entities in the city that work directly with constituency engagement. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I know that SunTrend does. I know that mobility and traffic people do to some extent. And so I think it's worth asking the question, who does this? And the other question is, who isn't doing this, who needs to be doing it? And how can this be deepened or made more of a solid operational plan inside? It needs to be in somebody's workflow. Mm-hmm. It's this whole idea of constituency engagement. It isn't just something that we do on the side because some federal grant says that we have to do a survey on this. I don't know about you, but I have survey fatigue, and I just delete them. Or I go to them, and they're not asking me what I want to tell them. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think in this vein, the chair will request that the topic of the City of Tucson's constituency engagement policy or process be reviewed at the next meeting and see the IAPC's role within this.
Yes. I think that's the place to start.
Okay. Staff, would you please record the request and coordinate its placement on the appropriate future agenda? Thank you very much, Mr. Williams. Was there anything else from the commission on future agenda items?
If the drones are going to come up on future agendas, then I can ask additional drone questions at that time. And if it's not on a future agenda, then we would need to add it. And then I have a lot of questions about existing city data and basically how it's updated. For example, at one point I could get use of force data, but that data hasn't been updated in some time. I can see shelter bed data, but sometimes that doesn't update for 2 or 3 days. And then I can see sort of the Viva dashboards where it shows sort of the amount of shootings and things of that nature in certain locations. And I'm just interested in who's in charge of refreshing those data sources and how often they're refreshed.
So would that be, Mr. Williams, sort of the same sort of agenda item for constituency engagement as for data retention and data access policies?
Yeah, I would probably put it on as a separate agenda item because it's going to be different city staff. You don't want to go too far into the discussion part until it's on the agenda, but Commissioner, you mentioned the shelter data, the Viva. Would you like staff to present specifically to that? Because that's one group of staffers. Are there other public-facing data sets that you see that you're concerned about?
The use of force dashboard, if that's available.
I missed that last part.
Use of force. So there was a use of force dashboard that basically showed the amount of force that was being used in various police stops.
We can add an agenda item specific to those three areas, and it might be different staff. So that can be its own thing. The staff can come and present.
Okay.
where those things are housed, how accurate the information is when it's updated. That's something we can put together. When we do the future agendas, what we will do as your liaison is we'll coordinate staff. We try to get it on the next agenda, mm-hmm. but it might we might not get staff lined up until one or two meetings.
Okay.
I have one more item that I'd like to put forward. And again, this is a high level item, but that would be inclusion policies and practices at the city. And that would be based on all kinds of inclusion. So I guess the equity people would be involved in that, right?
And if Chairman, if I may, this is good. It gets us a list. That's usually what the commission would have when we have a full commission. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a list here that then exists under the future agenda items as we bring them onto mm-hmm. the agenda and it comes off of future. But that gives us something to work towards Perfect. And plan out your next 6 months of meetings.
Perfect.
So, sorry, was I heard on the equity?
Yes, you were, Commissioner Parker.
Okay.
Commissioner Parker.
Thank you.
We're writing all of this down.
Thank you. I wasn't sure.
All right. Are there any additional proposed future agenda items? All right. Hearing none, agenda item 7 is concluded. And before we adjourn, are there any required announcements from staff? Hearing none, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right, I've seconded. After a second has been moved and seconded to adjourn, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes have it. The meeting is adjourned at 4:16.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone.
So much. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.